All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Yesterday we had a lottery. The Panthers were slotted to pick 8th. They dropped to 9th. The Toronto Maple Leafs, who were in disarray the day before because people were throwing garbage at their new GM, they somehow end up with the number one overall pick, even with their pick and flush. We need a hockey expert to talk about this. So we'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com. The Hockey Hornet, a.k.a. David Dwork, joining us there. He is a reporter for the Hockey News and the host of The Hockey Show with Roy Bellamy. He joins us there. Hello, Hockey Hornet.
Buzz, buzz, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Other than feeling like I'm in a war bunker, I'm good. I had to find a quiet spot at the station to do our interview. I didn't want to do it from the newsroom, so I found this back studio, and I mean, it's quiet.
It is. It is quiet. It sounds soundproof. It looks like you got like an umbrella back there for photo shoots. What is that? Where Will Mansell looks all handsome on set?
Obviously.
Obviously.
Yes. David, I'm like, I haven't been interested in the hockey playoffs. They've been amazing. All the games have been, but just not the same without the Panthers. And I just have, like, I'll see a hockey game on, maybe I'll stop for a minute, but then I go look for something else. Are you the same way? Because it's like your team's not in it?
No.
No?
No. Maybe because I grew up as a Panthers fan and I came into my career as a Panthers follower, and it was at a time where they were just like
never in the playoffs.
Making the playoffs felt like an eternity. Got adapted to really enjoying just what the playoffs have to offer. And I think that's most hockey fans. Like, even if their team is in it or not, like, you're really into the playoffs because it's just another level. So no, but I get where you're coming from, because it's your team and they're not there and it sucks. But the good thing is they're going to be back in short order. And that's the cool thing about the Panthers situation right now is, like, they had this awful injury-filled year, but it's really what it should be anyway is just a one-off, and they should get right back to contending for the Stanley Cup for the next several years. So the fact that they've got a top 10 first round pick to play around with, whatever they end up doing with it, it's just kind of like a little extra drop in the bucket right now.
So for those who have not been in tune with the hockey lottery, can you take us through what happened with the Panthers? Why did they end up picking 9th? Was there chicanery with the Leafs ending up number 1? How did that all go down yesterday?
So the way that the lottery works is they have two different draws, one for the first pick and one for the second pick. All the teams that don't make the playoffs have a chance at moving up, but you can only move up a maximum of 10 spots. So only the worst 11 have a chance to get the first pick. So that's the broad pick. At the Panthers yesterday, first, the Maple Leafs won the first draw for the first pick. So they moved up to number 1, but they were already picking 5th. So that didn't impact the Panthers, who were in 8th. The second draw, San Jose Sharks won. Chris Greer's brother, Mike Greer, GM of the San Jose Sharks, he won the second pick. So the Sharks moved up from 9th, which was behind the Panthers, to 2nd, which bumped everybody else back 1, which is how the Panthers got bumped from 8th to 9th. I mean, look, it's cool that two different teams won. It's depressingly hilarious that the Canucks not only missed out on the first pick, that they missed out on the first and the second pick. Is it just feels like that's the most unlucky franchise around right now. But ultimately, you know, for those of us who are kind of entertained by a little bit of chaos, seeing the Leafs go from 5th to 1st and what that means. And as you mentioned, a day after their new, you know, hockey hierarchy was really trashed, at least their new GM in a press conference up there. It's an interesting kind of ebb and flow situation for the Maple Leafs right now. But I'm here for it. I'm not worried about any other teams coming up. And, you know, the Panthers are going to be what they are, regardless of what anybody else in the league is going to be doing. So in that regard, not really too concerned. But I think just in terms of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are like one of the meccas of hockey in the situation that they've been in, but getting Gavin McKenna, who they're going to pick. Look, I'm all for it. I just, you know, add a little chaos into your life and, you know, enjoy the show.
I was I've been noticing on hockey Twitter that a lot of the American players who play for Canadian teams all seem to be a little, especially the ones that aren't playing anymore. There's only Canadians are left, but feels like Austin Matthews, he's not sure about his future. Hellebuyck, he's not sure about his future. Brady Tkachuk, sick of the trade rumors. And that, of course, will, you know, lead us to pick up our head like a prairie dog and look over there. Bill Zito's looking at disgruntled people north of the border and think to himself, does anybody want a top 10 pick? Does Bill Zito have the mechanisms to go big game hunting, or does he use that trade for something a little bit more supplemental to the roster, or do you think he uses it? What do you think would be the way the Panthers lean with their maneuvers this year?
I'd be surprised if they end up taking the pick, only because this team is in such win now mode that using that and flipping it into something that you can inject into the roster immediately that's going to help your Stanley Cup chances right now makes a lot of sense. You mentioned some name that I think we're going to be tracking, at least now between the draft, in all, you know, a little less than 2 months. Connor Hellebuck, you know, obviously the Panther situation with Sergei Bobrovsky, he's an unrestricted free agent. Obviously, both sides, it's been well reported that both sides want to get something done, and Bob wants to stay in South Florida. So I'd be really surprised if that doesn't happen. But even still, Bob's going to be 38 years old at opening night next season. They've already been limiting his starts over the last few years, trying to keep him around the 50 to 55 range. So to see them try to go out and get the next guy, if, you know, Connor Hellebuck is something that they want to consider, I'm all for that. The idea of having that kind of goalie tandem. And look, we've seen Bill Zito in the past. They've had, what, $14 million tied up with their goalies before the Spencer Knight trade. So it's not like this team doesn't know how to invest in their goaltending. And we have all the trust in the world in the goaltending excellence department, who has just found goalie after goalie that has worked out here. You talked about guys like Austin Matthews and Brady Tkachuk, two American captains of Canadian teams right now, both of whom are reportedly not happy with their situations. You know, there's talk about them getting pushed out of town by the media and by just what's been going on up there in their respective cities. With Austin Matthews, I'm curious how that changes now that Toronto's getting the top pick, probably bringing in Gavin McKenna, this young Canadian superstar. Perhaps he'll stick around with, as opposed to what's happening with Austin. We'll see how it all plays out. But then you've got Brady Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk's little brother up in Ottawa. It's, you know, been kind of clear that it hasn't been all, you know, roses and greenery and all that good stuff up there for him. And, you know, who wouldn't want to come play with your brother on a team that's going to play for the Stanley Cup probably for the next few years? So just to see Florida have this options, to see them have, you know, the potential, like, do I want to take the pick? Do I want to make the trade? In the situation that they're already in, considering how good this roster is, it's just really cool. And probably unfair to the rest of the league, but, you know, who cares?
So with, and I have like a different thought, is that, you know, bringing somebody in, a young player to kind of grow with Sam Miskevich and some of the young players, Lindell, to try to have these guys so that you're always there. Because if you have health, you're competing. It's not a player that you were missing. All you needed was health, so why wouldn't you just go ahead on and get a young player and kind of keep this thing going? Because if you keep doing it that way and say, hey, we're trying to win now, eventually it hits a wall. But they have young talent. They have a lot of young talent to mix, a good mix of young players and veterans, so why not just bring another young player in?
Yeah, look, it makes sense. The only thing is with the NHL, it's hard to get a guy that's going to be NHL ready within maybe a year or so of the draft. It's rare. Maybe like a top, you know, one or two type guys that'll go straight to the league. But for the most part in hockey, guys, it's going to take a year or two at least of seasoning. Like for a defenseman, it's going to take longer.
Right.
For a goalie, it's going to take longer. So it's hard. You don't often find like the Aaron Ekblads who can, you know, first overall pick. He's playing in the league a couple of months later. But to your point, they are still going to be expected to be good for the next 2-3 years. So by the time this player would be ready to come into the NHL, it would be a good time for Florida to get some of that youth to come up and inject into the roster. So that it certainly makes sense. And if Bill Zito and his guys decide to pull the trigger on one of the guys that's going to be available, you know, around 9, whether like Keaton Verhoff, the defenseman from North Dakota, falls, you know, there's guys like Caleb Malhotra, who's a really good center out of the OHL. There's going to be some very good players available around that pick. And yeah, I'm just curious because I could really see it going either way. I just personally think that based off of what's available, it wouldn't surprise me to see Zito make a move and inject a little bit more into the roster right away. But really, either way, you know, they're okay.
Can I ask you, because, you know, we know the NBA trade machine and having to, like, mess with salaries and whatnot, and obviously, you know, the Heat don't have a ton of guys that people aren't willing to move. People are like, hey, get everybody out of here. Just revamp. The Panthers, it's a little different. Like, these are guys now that have won championships with you, and it's hard for me to part feelings with making a big move. So use your crystal ball a little bit. If the Panthers were to go big game hunting, I've seen out there it might take a parting with a Lundell. It may take parting with one of the Sam. What would it take to get the whale this year that would somebody want? Like, could they do this and still keep the Sams around? Does the salary cap work like that? So let's just say it's Brady Tkachuk, for example. What kind of haul is Ottawa expecting? Because we remember when we traded for Tkachuk, it took trading Huberto, who, yes, it worked out awesome for the Panthers, but that guy was a beloved Panther at the time.
It's tough because specifically for Brady Tkachuk, like, he's going to have a lot of the power because, you know, he's got the no movement clause. So he can basically say, look, this is where I want to go. And if you want to make something work, you know, go ahead and do what you got to do. In terms of who Florida would give up, it's hard to see. Just looking at how the roster is made up and how guys are utilized throughout, either of the two Sams that you mentioned play very crucial roles. Like, down the middle with Barkov, Bennett, and Lundell, like, that makes Florida incredibly difficult to defend and you know, to defend against, just because, or excuse me, to deal with on a defensive side, just because they're also good to both ways and they can hit you deep. Yeah, I mean, thinking about guys that they could potentially, you know, give up in a deal like that, like, it's hard to even throw out names for the reason you said, Brandon, because you become so emotionally attached to these guys. But, like, maybe a Carter Verhaeghe or somebody who plays a little bit more of an interchangeable role on the team. For a guy like Brady Tkachuk, he really would fit in well with the Panthers just because he's very skilled, but he's also very gritty. He's growing into a very more controlled player than what we've seen in the past, so it could fit. But it's a big question of how much do you want to disrupt what you've got to bring in something like that, whether it's a Brady Tkachuk or a Connor Hellebuck or whatever. Because we've talked ad nauseum about how the chemistry with this team and the locker room with this team is such a big advantage and such a like a big contributing factor to why they've had so much success. So it's really difficult for Bill Zito in that regard, just because you really have to make sure that you're not going to mess with the temperament of the team. But I mean, guys that are untouchable are like Barkov, obviously Barkov, Tkachuk. I don't think the Sams would be traded just because, like I said, they play very crucial roles. I think Anton Lundell is absolutely untouchable. Unless somebody's offering like a Connor McDavid or, you know, Macklin Celebrini or something, that's not going to happen. Just because they view him so highly, he's still so young. He's just going to be 24, I think, on opening
night.
So
we're looking at we would look at like Verhaeghe, Lostarainen. Like, it would have to be even as good as those guys. Like, that's probably the level. Like, none of the top flight guys, you can't see Bill Zito putting somebody like that on the table for anybody.
Unless it's like top five guys in the league type discussion that like nobody's doing because the Panthers aren't trading their, you know, high end guys. So it's hard to envision that happening. So yeah, I agree with you that it would be one of those. I don't want to say mid tier guys because that's not what they are. It's just in terms of roles on the team. It's what are you willing to remove and what are you not?
Let's bring you here to what I really wanted to get to, which is making fun of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Did you see yesterday Andrei Vasilevskiy being asked about his coach's comments? Of course, John Pooper, my least favorite. He said that, you know, sometimes you lose on the scoreboard but not the game, which is right up there with his Team Canada loss. And this was his star goalie responding to that when asked by the media.
Pooper said after the game Sunday that the hockey gods have been in his corner a lot of times, and it just wasn't in that game. And could you that based on, I don't know if you've looked at replays of the two goals that went in, they were just kind of crazy bounces. Is that just kind of how it goes sometimes?
I feel like that's our excuse the last like few years, like hockey gods, bad bounces. Yeah, like bad bounces for sure. But I mean, that's at the end of the day, like, you know, it's just. It's like a broken record over and over and again. So, I know, we have to man up here.
Wow!
Hey, I got to tell you.
When I saw that the first time, as soon as I saw that eye roll, before he even answered his question, when they're talking, he's like, oh, like you knew something good was coming. I love Vasi. I think he's great.
While he was
But I also love John Cooper.
while they were reading the quote, he started rolling his eyes. Right? So you knew. But here's the deal. Like, the skin that management has in the game, when you could just shrug your shoulders and move on, is a lot different than the player. It hurts. Nobody cares about a damn bad bounce. It only matters if you win or lose. And you could, you know, maybe BS yourself once or twice. But it's like, he said, I'm tired of hearing this. I'm tired of hearing bad bounces and this and that and whatever. Right? It almost seems like the organization has a built-in cop-out or a built-in excuse to lose without understanding, like, these players don't want to lose. These players are tired of it. They want to turn it around and would rather not have management talking about, them's the breaks. Right? Yeah. Like, you don't want to hear management saying that.
And I get his frustration, too, because, I mean, you know, you're the goalie on a team that during the regular season scored 3.5 goals a game, and then they went out in the playoffs. They scored one goal in Game 7, one goal in Game 6, two goals in Game 5. Like, that's not easy. And when you're Vasilevsky, when you're out there, and he played so good in that series, he made some ridiculous saves. And to have you lose basically your whole season on a couple bad bounces, yeah, because your team couldn't figure out how to keep scoring.
Right.
So, yeah, I could get his frustration. That's not the hockey gods. That's just a team figuring out how to shut you down. And when you're a goalie, what can you do about that?
Right.
Wait a minute. You like John Cooper? Why?
He's a great coach. He's a good guy.
He's a coach. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. The goon hirer.
Talking to John Cooper.
I don't like him, man. I wish him no success.
I just think that sometimes with our explanations of sports, we try to get too cute. And management got cute with an explanation, and I could just look by the player that, like, yo, man, like, he probably wanted to say, I wish management would just shut the hell up, right? That's all, because he's getting hot.
And his hat moved, his eyes moved so high. He was not ready for that.
Uh-oh.
He did not want to do it.
Go follow David Dwork this offseason. The Hockey News is where you guys can read his work. You also can check him out on The Hockey Show with Roy Bellamy. They're doing a fantastic job covering the playoffs and I'm sure all the offseason activity for the Panthers. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Good to see you, boys. Take care.
All righty. We'll take a break here on the program, get you caught up with your headlines. We're back after this.